Into our third hour, I am Jim Rome. So we're still talking college basketball, but I want to shift and talk a little NFL, which I'll do momentarily. I actually want to talk some Major League Baseball, too, which I will get to a little bit later on this hour. But in the meantime, you can go ahead and drive this thing. It's open to you, 1-800-636-8686. In terms of college basketball, I do want to talk about Arkansas, Kentucky, John Calipari, and the video that went viral yesterday of Cal walking his dog. That's what it's come to. But as I mentioned, other things I want to talk about this hour. I want to talk some MLB, and I want to talk some NFL right now. And to that point, we are joined right now by a quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. He's played 13 years in the NFL. He was the 35th pick overall in 2011 out of TCU by the Bengals. He has also started for the Cowboys, the Bears, the Saints. He is a three-time Pro Bowler. He led Cincinnati to four straight playoff appearances from 2011 to 2015. He appears today courtesy of the NFL's broadcast boot camp. I'm talking about Andy Dalton. Andy, it's great to have you on the show. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, good. So I want to talk to you about the broadcast boot camp, of course, but let me talk for a minute about the journey you've had. You've had a long and accomplished career in the NFL. I'm curious, how are you approaching your role with the Panthers in helping Bryce Young develop while at the same time staying ready to play when called upon?
Yeah, you know, that's the position I'm in right now. You know, I've got a ton of experience. I've played for, had 12 years of starting experience, and so for me, I'm just trying to bring that experience to Bryce, help him out in any way that I can, tell him how I see things when we get into these meetings, and help him on the field, all the stuff that goes into it. So last year, obviously, was a big growing year for him. He learned a lot. He had to handle a lot of adversity. But, you know, it's been a fun room to be in. It's been great to be a part of it with Bryce. Bryce is built the right way. He's got a great head on his shoulders, and I think this year is going to be big for him.
Andy Dalton joining us. In fact, you hit on two things that I was going to ask you about. You mentioned that you started for 12 years. I'm curious, you don't play as long as you have in the NFL. You don't start 12 years unless you have a great belief in yourself. So how did you go about processing, when you've always been that guy and the guy, how did you go about processing being number two on the depth chart? And then what was the adjustment like for you to make in terms of mindset to make that work?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, it was definitely hard at times this past year, you know, knowing that, especially with, just seeing other guys across the league, they were getting opportunities to play, and for me having to sit back and watch, it was definitely tough. But I think at the end of the day, you know, you want to be where you are and make the most of the opportunity that you have in front of you. And for me, it wasn't playing last year, but it was being the right type of teammate, the guy that, guys could go to whenever they needed something, to voice my opinion on things, and to, have an impact that was more off the field than it was on the field. And so I think it's just kind of where you're at. You know, obviously, as a competitor, and I would have loved to been the one that was going to get to be out there and playing on Sundays, but, that wasn't the case. But no, I definitely still view myself as I don't think there's 32 that are better than me. And, I feel like I've having that mindset. I mean, you don't play this long if you don't have that mindset.
I can appreciate that response. Andy Dalton's joining us. In terms of playing this long, you were among the 12 quarterbacks that were selected in the 2011 draft. That's a group which includes Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, Blaine Gabbert. So what's it represent to you to have the kind of longevity you've had in this league, a league that is filled with so much turnover?
Yeah, you know, I've been blessed. I've been able to play this game for a long time. And another guy you didn't mention was Tyrod Taylor, who's still going.
Yep.
And so, it's one of those things that every time I see Tyrod end, I've seen Blaine the last couple of years too. It's like, man, we're still going. And so I'm just thankful that, I've been able to play this game for a long time.
Hey, you're preaching in the choir. I've always thought that Tyrod Taylor was a much better player than he got credit for. And by the way, he's still out there, so clearly he has great value. Going back to Bryce Young for a minute, any rookie quarterback is going to face a learning curve, even steeper for Bryce in the midst of a two-win season. You touched on it, but overall, how do you think that he handled the challenges that he faced in year one in the NFL?
Yeah, I thought he handled it well. He's never in his life had a season like that and had to handle the adversity that he had to deal with. It was a tough year, and then you throw in, losing your head coach after 11 games and changes on offense and all the things that went into it. It was tough. And so I think for him, I thought he handled it well, and I kept telling him, just, like, stay the course. You know, this thing is going to get better. It's going to improve. And now I think what we have done this offseason, you know, bringing in some guys, bringing in a couple guards on the offensive line, different things, trading for Deontay Johnson, I think it's getting built the right way where, it's going to set him up to have a better year.
We're talking to Andy Dalton. He's appearing courtesy of the NFL's Broadcast Bootcamp, which we'll get to in 1 minute. Andy, I wanted to ask you about the 2020 season when you were in Dallas. I'm curious, when you look back on that year, what was it like to share a quarterback room with Dak Prescott as he dealt with injuries, and what was it like to play for Jerry Jones?
You know, I really enjoyed getting to play, have that year with the Cowboys and to be in the room with Dak. You know, I learned a lot from Dak. I got to see him, see how he works, see how he operates, and see how he was around that building and for that team. And so it was cool to be there, to see him, to see his type of leadership and everything that goes into it. It gave me an appreciation for Dak that I didn't have before I got there. And so, I really enjoyed my year with the Cowboys. And same with Jerry. I mean, obviously, it was a little bit of a different year with COVID and everything. He wasn't around as much as I'm sure he is normally. But I had a great experience playing for the Cowboys.
So, Andy, one last thought before we move on to what you're here to talk about. I'm really curious about your move with the Bears, because you were there in 2021, and they used the first-round pick, of course, on Justin Fields that season. I'm curious, what was your relationship like with him, and then how much do you think he'll benefit from a change of scenery now that he's ended up with the Steelers?
Yeah, I've been a fan of Justin. Obviously, it was a different situation going into it. You know, for me being the starter to start that thing, then when I got hurt, he took over. And obviously, again, another guy that had some growing pains in his first year. But I thought for him, he kind of really came into his own the last couple years. Justin's got a ton of talent and all the stuff that he can do. He's going to have explosive plays and everything. It was a tough situation for him because it didn't really matter how good he played this past year. They were still going to have the first pick, and he couldn't play himself out of that. And so, and then for him to have to handle the talk all, towards the end of the season and off season of, okay, are they going to hold on to him? Are they going to move on? Are they going to draft? Potentially Caleb Williams with the first pick. I think all the stuff that he's had to deal with the last couple years, I think for him a change of scenery is going to be nice. Obviously, it's going to be, a different situation in Pittsburgh with Russell being the guy to start off. But I know he'll be ready. I know he's excited for the new opportunity.
All right, so Andy Dalton joining us. So as somebody who stood and answered questions and was a starter in the NFL for 12 years, you know what it's like to deal with the media. And then this is not the only media exposure you're involved with today. You're going to take part in the NFL's Broadcast Bootcamp, which started today at NFL Media Studios in Inglewood here in SoCal. It's going to run through Thursday. I'm curious, why were you interested in participating in this program, given the experience you have already, and what is on the agenda this week? What goes on?
Well, I think it's a different way of seeing the media. You hear from you see it from one side where you're usually the one getting interviewed. But there's also a ton of different media outlets, from the in studio stuff to calling a game to interviewing to broadcasting to podcasts, all the different stuff that goes into it. And so we come to this thing to get the knowledge and get to hear from people that have been doing this for a long time, to get to see the different side of the business of it all, and have a chance to learn and grow and from people that have done this at a high level. So that's one thing that it's going to be fun to be here, fun to see all the ins and outs that go into this, the whole media side of the NFL and broadcasting and everything.
So I'm curious, how much thought have you given to it? For instance, would you rather be a studio person? Would you rather call games? Would you rather have a podcast? Would you rather be somebody who can do a little bit of everything? What's on your mind?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. You know, that's another reason why you come here, because you're going to get opportunities to be exposed to all the different things ways of doing the media, and you might find things that you like more than others, and you might, you know, realize that, hey, you like something that you didn't thought you would like coming in. So for me, I'm just kind of open it all. I'm here to just kind of soak it all in and gain as much knowledge as I can.
Have you done it before, or is this the first time?
This is the first time. So it's going to be a great experience for me.
All right, good. Glad to hear it. Andy Dalton joining us. And again, he's appearing courtesy of the NFL's Broadcast Boot Camp. Andy, great to have you on the show. Have fun with that. And really nice to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Jim.
Andy Dalton joining us. All right, so another media rep right there. Got himself a rep before going into work. Had some good insight. I like it. His thoughts on Bryce. His thoughts on Justin Fields. His thoughts on his time in Dallas. And also, again, I mentioned, he's one of 12 quarterbacks that were selected in the 2011 draft. And that group included Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, Blaine Gabbert. He reminded me, Tyrod Taylor. And I've always said, man, Tyrod Taylor, he's a pro. He's a better player and a better quarterback than he gets credit for. It's not his fault that an injection punctured his lung. Telephone number is toll free, 1-800, thank you, Alvy, 636-8686. All right, so I want to update you with some thoughts on Cal. Still not official. The divorce, we cannot consider that a divorce.
Consider that a divorce.
Not yet. It's unofficially a divorce. Definitely looking for telephone calls, and I see a couple that are pretty interesting, which I'll get to. In fact, why don't I get to them right now? Tommy, is that a good idea or a bad idea? You screen them. This is interesting. Vic in Victoria. What are the chances? Vic in Victoria, British Columbia. Let's find out. Go to the phones. Hey, Vic. Nice to have you on the show. How are you?
Hi, Jim. How you doing?
Great.
Great interview with Raggedy Andy. The Firebush is a gunslinger, a gamer, and a great teammate, so it's good to hear him. During the short call, though, I'd like to introduce myself to the clones. First up, I'd like to introduce myself to Rick in Buffalo, the Goo Goo Dolls loving, General Mills eating, Bills choking bridesmaid. Second, I'd like to introduce myself to G-Aw, the goof and the pathetic cake sounding like crab cake. And lastly, I'd like to introduce myself to Parody Larry, you warm piece of human excrement lacking entertainment. War James Kelly giving me a smooth parlay to pay off my alimony bills. Boot and a boot.
All right, Vic. Always up for a clone introducing himself to the other clones and to the show. I'm here for it. It's all right. Vic in Victoria. Are there any of you all else out there that want to introduce yourselves to the clones? And see, he understood. I'm not saying that's the best smack I ever heard. But he understood that if you're going to introduce yourself to the show and to the others, a good way to introduce yourself to the others is by cracking back on the others. The goof, G-off, Goo Goo Dolls loving Rick. He went big game hunting. See, if Rick had to lower himself to respond to everybody who took a run at him, he wouldn't be able to work. And he also thanked James Kelly for helping him pay off his alimony bills. All right, took a shot. Anybody else want to introduce themselves? Let's go to the reaction. All right, so here's reaction from UK. At UK, Mitch Barnhart, quote, "We're appreciative of John Calipari leading our program for the last 15 years, adding to the legacy of championship success at Kentucky. We are grateful to John for his many contributions to the university and our state, both on and off the court." Damn, that's kind of cold. It took you how long to come up with that? That was a little chilly. I think that is an actual official divorce.
Consider that a divorce.
You should have hashtagged it. Made it a little more fun. Consider that a divorce.
Divorce.
You could have fit that
consider
in, Mitch.
That a divorce.
Consider that a divorce. It would have been so much better. Quote, we're appreciative of John Calipari leading our program for the last 15 years, adding to the legacy of championship success at Kentucky. We're grateful to John for his many contributions to the university and our state, both on and off the court. Hashtag consider that a divorce.
Hashtag
consider that a divorce.
Now, that would have been a great post. one 800 636 8686. All right, when we come back, I want to, now that we're getting far enough down the road, almost too far down the road, I want to go back to yesterday when Cal was out walking his dog with, not in, but with a dog stroller. The media obviously was waiting for Cal to leave the house, right? He had to leave the house at one point for whatever reason, probably to walk the dog. And they were ready when it happened and wanted a comment from Cal, but Cal did not give them what they wanted. I've got that reset coming up. And I've got a question in the meantime. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so good? There is something to be said for a family business which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender and never tough because they use only the best ingredients from their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and it comes in four mouth-watering flavors: old-fashioned, classic beef jerky flavor, exceptionally tender, smoky and delicious, teriyaki with the yellow label, where Old Trapper turned the flavor dial to 11, hot and spicy, with a spice so nice you'll want to snack twice, and peppered. Tender, seasoned beef covered in cracked pepper, a cold beer's best friend. Grab and go with a 4-ounce bag. Load it up with an 18-ounce bag. That way there's enough for the entire family. If you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. I would imagine divorce is a very difficult thing. I would imagine having a divorce play out publicly cannot be an easy thing. And this is what we're seeing with UK and John Calipari. I just read a statement from Kentucky AD Mitch Barnhart, and I'd mentioned that Cal had not spoken, that he had not had a public comment. He does now. He posted a video for the BBN. I want to go back, before we talk about that, I want to go back to what happened yesterday, though. Like, Lexington might have gotten exactly what they wanted in running Cal off. And I say that, like, you may have gotten what you wanted, but you're never going to have another Cal. I'm not saying it wasn't time. In fact, I did say it was time. Time for both sides. I'm just saying you're never going to find another guy like that guy, because there is nobody like that guy. Case in point, his viral moment yesterday. So before we move on to what it means, him going to Arkansas, what he's going to get, what Kentucky's going to do to try to replace him, I don't want to let this get away. I don't want that final viral moment from yesterday go unmentioned, because it's one of the most Cal moments ever. And there's been a lot of great Cal moments. But who knew that a dude walking his dog could be a viral internet sensation? But of course, John Calipari casually walking his dog down a busy Lexington street is going to get some run. And of course, Lex Vegas being Lex Vegas, of course the local news managed to run up on him and shove a camera in his face while he was out for his dog walk. Just Cal cruising down the street in Lex Vegas with his dog, and oh yes, a dog stroller. Because apparently Cal not only has a dog, he has a dog stroller. Now, to be clear on that, he was not pushing the dog in the dog stroller. I know that when you see that video, it's kind of hard to decipher. It's tough to tell. The dog is walking alongside Cal, and the stroller. So he's pushing the stroller and walking the dog. Cal is not pushing the dog in the dog stroller. He's just pushing an empty dog stroller. So I'm not sure why people got so hung up on that, but people got hung up on that. Hey, Internet, there is your clarification. You're welcome. So my man's got a dog, and he's got a dog stroller. And WKYT managed to find him while he was walking his dog and pushing his dog stroller and wanted to know if he had anything to say.
Hey, Coach, you got anything you want to say to your fans?
I'm walking my dog right now.
Anything right now? You want to say anything to your fans
right now? I'm good. Come on, Paul. Come on. My dog is walking me. Come on.
Only thing missing from that was, come on! my bad, Cal. That's my fault. Cal was not out casually walking his dog down a main street in Lexington. The dog was out casually walking Cal. And the dog has a name. And the dog's name is Paul. I mean, I don't know how this could be any funnier or any more Cal. Cal telling a local reporter, I'm good. I'm out walking the dog. Actually, the dog is walking me. Come on, Paul.
My dog is walking me. Come on.
Cal minding his own business, getting in some quality time with his dog, Paul. Well, pushing Paul's doggy stroller without a real concern in the world other than Paul having to do what Paul does, taking a W-A-L-K or walking Cal. I wonder if Paul had a little blue bag and was picking up after Cal. Or if Cal had the bag and was picking up after Paul. Either way. Or if Paul was being a bad Cal owner and leaving the excrement on the pavement for somebody to step on and slip. Either way, one of the crazier things that's ever happened in Lexington is currently happening. Pretty iconic.
Ionic.
So they wanted to know why, or do you have a message for the BBN? That would have been premature. He does now. He posted one now. He has one right now. But he couldn't do so back then because nothing was official. But now Mitch Barnhart has come out with that statement, making it official. So Cal either turned his phone around or had it locked and loaded, and now he's got his statement for the BBN. All pretty cool. So the question now is, now that Paul has walked Cal, and Cal is going to head to Arkansas and get all that paper, who is going to take the Kentucky paper? Cal is going to take the Arkansas paper. And he's going to get the cash in the new NIL treasure chest at Arkansas. Probably the treasure chest that Muss was looking for, but didn't get. But Cal will. Cal's going to go there and count all of his Chicken Man money. And Jera money. And Walmart paper.
That's all it.
Hey, Alva, you got anything for Walmart? Didn't think so. So the question now for Lex Vegas is, all right, who's going to take that BBN paper?
I pulled him right into Walmart, and I texted him real quick, and I said, what's Walmart got? And he texted back and said, your mama in bulk.
Yo. I apologize, Alvy. Way to go.
Yo.
All right. You know what Alvy had? Yo mama in bulk. Yo.
Yo.
It's Jolene in Farmington if you need her. Yo.
Yo.
All right, so what does Lexington do now? What does UK do now? Blue Blood, BBN, UK. Who's going to take that big stack of paper? It's going to be interesting, right? So far, Jay Wright says he's happy in the media game. Can't see that happening. Nate Oates seemed to be pretty logical. He's done a miraculous job at Bama in the conference. But he says he's staying at Bama. How about Billy Donovan? Billy Donovan was a great college coach. Billy Donovan's a great basketball coach. Billy Donovan has ties to UK. But early indications are that Billy Donovan is focused on the Bulls and trying to find a way to get them into the postseason. And again, when asked about it last night, Dan Hurley actually laughed off the suggestion that he could end up in Kentucky.
UConn next year, you're not going to entertain any conversations with anybody else that might have a job coming open tomorrow?
Yeah. I don't think that's a concern. You know, my wife, you should have her answer that. Yeah.
We can maybe arrange a press conference for Mrs. Hurley in the morning. Congratulations, Coach.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, she'll answer that question better than I can.
That's like the only question he hasn't answered.
Yo.
Anyway, like I said, maybe Kentucky can double his salary. Maybe Kentucky can even slide a blank check across the table and make him an offer that he just can't say no to. Maybe that somehow changes his mind, her mind, both their minds, but I doubt that. I don't think the guy can be bought, although everybody has a price, but I don't see it. It seems like Kentucky needs to get a yes from Scott Drew. He wouldn't be their first choice. But what if for some reason he also said no? Then where does that leave them? That would really suck after doing all the hard work to make sure that Cal and Paul knew that they were no longer welcome in town. Now I'll say this about Scott Drew. He hasn't shut it down. Not yet. So at least he's still in play. Would you be happy with that, BBN? I said it yesterday. The Cal divorce, now that it pretty much is official, it's a good thing. It is a good thing for everybody. Cal needs a fresh start. Kentucky needs a fresh start. The BBN needed somebody new, a new voice, a new vision. Cal needed a new challenge. Cal needed to go someplace where they were happy to see him. And they weren't riding him. Cal pretty much laid out all those things in a 4-minute video that he just posted. Yesterday, when he was approached by the media while he was walking Paul or Paul was walking him, he had nothing for the BBN. Today, he's got 4 minutes for the BBN on the X platform. Here is a part of what Cal had to say about leaving Kentucky and his message for the BBN. This was on the X platform a few moments ago.
Since our season ended, Ellen and I have spent a lot of time thinking about our time here at Kentucky. What it means to us, the friends we've made. On that court, regional championships, conference championships, Final Fours, the national title. In 2012, it's been a beautiful time for us. This is a dream job. It was my dream job. Anybody in our profession looks at the University of Kentucky in basketball and said, that is the bluest of blue. The last few weeks, we've come to realize that this program probably needs to hear another voice, that the university as a whole has to have another voice giving guidance about this program that they hear. And the fans need to hear another voice. We've loved it here, but we think it's time for us to step away and step away completely from the program.
Well done. Well done. And I said that before I played that, before I heard that. To be honest with you, that's the first I heard of that. Alvy, while I was sharing my thoughts, found that, pulled that. But it's so true. And he echoed what I had said, that it was just time. 15 years is a long, long time. Never mind 15 years aging him in dog years when you're in Kentucky. It's just a long time for everybody to hear a similar message. The players, the boosters, the administration, the fans. And by the way, the players still love him. Obviously, they keep coming. He keeps getting 5-star recruits. Clearly, the players love him. And then why wouldn't they? He keeps sending them to the NBA. Why are these guys playing college basketball? Especially there, to get to the NBA. And Cal could always do that. But I think the BBN, when the BBN said, well, great, we've got all these guys in the NBA, but how many championships do we have? That was fair. Fair criticism. Although Cal did a great job there for a long, long time, but he just owned it. It's time for everybody here to hear a new voice. And it's time for him to go someplace else where he's appreciated and people are happy to see him. I'm sure he needs that too. No matter how much of an ego you think that guy has, you know, you get beaten down. I don't care how tough you are mentally, you get beaten down. And if everywhere you go, somebody's got something to say to you, you probably want to go someplace else where they're actually happy to see you. Win-win. They'll get a new voice. They'll get a new vision. They'll get a new energy. And Cal needs to go somewhere where he can find himself once again and rejuvenate and start over. It's good. It's good. So now that he's done that, maybe you'll let Paul walk Cal in peace. I thought that was a good message for the BBN. I thought he held that well. What I want to know is, when does Paul drop his video thanking all his canine supporters in the BBN?
My dog is walking me. Come on.
Come on! I want to see Paul from the dog stroller and have Cal stick his iPhone in the dog's face and let him address the BBN. After all, he's the one walking Cal. All right, so I think that sounds like that divorce is now official.
Consider that a divorce.
Both sides have issued their statement. One small detail. Who is going to take his place? We'll see. In the coaching carousel, which is spinning counterclockwise. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen. If I were Perry Larry, I'd be like... Go ahead, Larry. There's an idea for another one of your horrible parodies. The counterclockwise, backwards spinning of the carousel. How is it that the best job was the last job available? It's because the carousel is spinning backwards because Andy Enfield went to SMU and Eric Musselman went to USC and Cal went to Arkansas and now Kentucky is still wide open. Speaking of Emus, Emus is going to be the Jim Rome podcast, which is going to drop tomorrow. And I haven't had a chance to get caught up with him. We've had a text exchange a couple of times, but I haven't had a full-on conversation with Mus, and we'll have that for you tomorrow, so make sure you look for that. New head coach at USC. He's going to take USC into the Big Ten. All right, let's break. Phone calls on the other side. Looking ahead to tomorrow, another legendary college basketball coach, Tom Izzo. A little catch-up with Tom Izzo tomorrow. I like that. Audric Estime, also tomorrow. Later on in the week, two of my favorite guys ever. Butta! Kevin Frazier. And on the same day as Kevin Frazier, one of my favorite managers ever. Terry Frank. So what I want to do quickly is drop some baseball in here. Now, if I see a good phone call, I'll take that. But I want to talk some baseball because I don't want to lose this thought. Hey, you remember that 6'5", power-hitting, rocket-armed, blazing-fast, 22-year-old dude playing shortstop for the Reds? I don't know how you could possibly forget Ellie De La Cruz. But just in case somehow, some way you did, let me jog your memory. Because I bet you won't forget what I'm about to lay out. Because this dude put all five of his freakish tools on display last night in the Natty. And it was just a reminder of how disturbingly talented this cat is. He seriously hit an inside-the-park home run. and a 450-foot bomb from each side of the plate in the same game. Tell me something more stupid than that. An inside-the-park home run from one side and a 450-foot bomb from the other. And neither one looked normal or natural or like they should be possible, yet he did both. I'm serious. Check this out. This is the real-time play-by-play of the in-the-parker. I did not speed this up. The call goes this quickly because the man was moving this quickly.
Absolute bomb. First pitch, center field. Frelick was deep, coming on. He slides, it gets by. De La Cruz can fly. He storms to second. Churio gathers, edge of the track. Windmill is on. Relay to the plate. De La Cruz, save!
I mean, come on. That's all it took for him to get around the bases. De La Cruz, quote, De La Cruz can fly. Man, that is the truth. The literal truth. I'm serious. Was he even touching the ground on his way around the bases? The guy made it around the bases in 14.96 seconds. He hit a sprint speed of 30.1 feet per second, according to StatCast, which I think should qualify as, quote, flying, even if technically his feet were touching the ground between absurdly gigantic strides. And if that weren't impressive enough, and it were, I mean, this dude can go from base to base in seemingly three strides. I've never seen anything like it. And if that weren't impressive enough, he then went up there and he did this.
Payoff is crushed. Deep center. Off the top of the batter's eye.
That right there is what the kids call a piss missile. And I don't like to throw that around. I save that term for when it's really, truly appropriate. And there really is no other apt description of what that was. Yeah, I know it's graphic. But in this case, it really is appropriate. No doubter does not begin to cover it. The only doubt anyone had was whether or not that ball was going to stay in the park. And remember, that was from the other side of the plate. One thing to hit a bomb from both sides of the plate. This freak had an inside the park, quote, bomb from one side of the plate and a 450-foot projectile bomb from the other side of the plate, not in the same season, but in the same game. Which also means that he could have technically gotten around the bases on the in-parker even faster if he had been in the lefty batter's box instead. Would have saved him a few steps. Sub 15 seconds around the diamond from the right side. How fast could he have gone from the left side? Dude's incredible, which is why it's nuts to me that he has haters. I know that everybody hates everything and that hate is the new dopamine, but come on, man. Now you got a problem, not even now, but have had a problem with Ellie De La Cruz. No, I'm not saying the guy's perfect. Far from it. He is a developing talent. But look at all that talent. The talent is freaking outrageous. This dude's an alien. At that size, playing shortstop, running like that, hitting with that kind of power. I mean, if ever there was a talent to wait on for a moment or two, a talent to be patient with, it's that guy. Yes, he strikes out too much. But you know what? He's also capable of getting around the bases in under 15 seconds. And then going over to the other side of the batter's box and jacking one 450. He can do both those things. And he's only 22. And he's only played in 108 games so far. Yet you wonder why he's not a perfect ball player already. He's already shown massive strides. Oh, and he plays shortstop. In addition to the athletic flashes that very few have ever been capable of, that he's already shown. So I don't know, maybe you give this guy a full 162 before you tear this guy down. Hey, Rome, can he pitch? Hey, Rome, wake me up when he can hit the block at 104. Come on, man. Why do you all got to find so much wrong in so many things? Why not rewire your brain to try to look for positive in things and not the negative in things? And by the way, how about this? How about this? I've always said this on the show. One of the things I admire most. After the amazing performance, he did his first round of post-game interviews in English. Do you know how hard that is? You know how intimidating that is? Most of you clones can't handle your first language. And this guy's doing interviews in his second language. I respect... I can't tell you how much I respect that. Look, I respect if you want to use an interpreter, because dealing with the media is not easy, even in your native language. And you don't want to get it wrong, so maybe you want some help. I get that. But man, not nearly as much as I like and respect a dude trying to learn another language and trying to do interviews 108 games in. Not to make everything about Shohei, but it's been over 6 years, and Shohei still will not field questions from reporters in English. You can't tell me he doesn't understand them, nor can you tell me he couldn't learn it. It obviously would have helped him, too. Then he could have ditched the interpreter at some point before that dude went full degenerate on him and allegedly stole more than $4 million and allegedly wired it to an alleged illegal bookie. That might have helped. Huge call brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. My thanks to Matt Norlander. Andy Dalton, the XR for TI. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.